nanohub.org.
Online simulation and more for nanotechnology.
So let's ask a few questions and then we'll be done today. Thank you. What is the difference between hot atom dissociation and cold atom dissociation? No, hot atom means the atom which is at higher level of excitation, right? Hot means that when you have more vibrational energy. So I would say the cold atom dissociation would be associated with NBTI. Okay. Because you just need, you only thing that you rely on are your surroundings. Whatever phonons the others can give, you collect them to break the bond. On the other hand, the hot atom dissociation is when you get a kick by a hot electron or something, that would be the hot atom dissociation. Why are these temperatures? Why not 65 degree Kelvin?
Okay, so, I guess 295 is close to the room temperature. And 77 K is nitrogen.
Liquid nitrogen is at 77 degrees C. Many times, don't you see in the corridor sometimes that they have this big cylinders? They put it on a dolly and then they take from different places. So that will be your liquid nitrogen. There are other uses of liquid nitrogen. What other things do you generally use if you want to get somebody in trouble? What is the use of liquid nitrogen? You are very good students, I see. Huh? Yeah, you freeze a frog and then put it in the people you don't like. Then when they hate it, it will be months before that person because it breaks into so many million pieces that it will be difficult for that person to make it clean again. Shouldn't do this very often.
Millions of people are spilling liquid nitrogen.
Oh, no. That's where it's more dangerous. What is the VTD difference between VT degradation and NIT degradation, Selin?
Their temperature dependence was different.
Very different, right?
NIT one was VT temperature dependent, but the VT degradation was more temperature dependent.
By two orders of magnitude we saw. And why is it?
Well, in VT degradation, there was a barrier. Even though the barrier was more or less the same, the energy of the electrons was less in low temperatures. That was why the channel was not forming that great.
Right.
For NIT, we saw that there was some mechanism that kind of canceling out each other. That's why,
it was not so, right. There's no barrier issue, right? Now, what is, at 77 degree, how many milli electron volts is your average energy? You know that. All of you know that. What is at room temperature, average energy? 25 milli electron volts. And even I can divide by a factor of 4. So how much is it? 6 milli electron volts. So you can see a barrier, same barrier, will look infinitely high for a 6 milli electron volts versus a 25 milli electron volts, right? So that is what the difference is, a factor of 4. Significantly larger than EG, what role does it have for hot carrier degradation? Generally, what is the role? Does the hot carrier degradation becomes... What is the temperature dependence of impact ionization?
Less.
It is less. Can you explain physically? What is happening? Why is it less? Who are the two competing people who are sort of making the sensitivity less? One part we said the barrier... Band gap is becoming smaller. But tell me physically, who are the
phonons,
right? So what is happening? Let's see. An electron is flying out. It has a certain amount of energy. It has gained from the field. That's its capital. Now there are two people who are competing for this. One is the phonons. If it can interact with it, they will take it away. That's the phonon emission. Or if it can sort of survive, then it will give it to the impact ionization. So impact ionization and phonon are essentially two competing mechanisms which are trying to take away this capital. When you increase the energy, there are this many little phonons which continuously drain. It steals a little bit and it never gains enough energy to impact ionize. Because you see, you need a certain amount of energy uninterrupted by the phonons, right? And the phonons is like emails. You continuously get distracted, so never get anything done. Will there be no, oh, there'll be, I'm sorry. No hot electron degradation is VDS reduced below impact ionization threshold. And what theory would you use to calculate defect generation rate in that case? Aida, you wish to answer? What about below threshold? Because these days, generally, this is 1 volt. And, you need 1.2, 1.3 volts. So, therefore, impact ionization is zero. And therefore, you have no silicon oxygen bond dissociation. Life is good. Anyone else you wish to answer? Yes? Huh? Band to, but these are 1 volt. You know, band to band tunneling could be an important thing. Huh?
But let's be specific
about impact ionization. I think one thing missing, incorrect impression I don't want you to leave with is this. When I plotted this particular impact ionization rate, do you remember the formula? The formula was, please check this if I did this wrong, and this is gamma. Right? This is what I said. You can see that below phi I, this formula says that this is zero. But think about it. This cannot be zero. This is a linear plot, so therefore it looks like it is zero. In reality, what's going to happen, if you did it in a log plot, but log of this, you will see that there is no threshold. It comes like that, and then it goes down like that. Does it remind you something that when you do IDVD characteristics in a linear plot, it looks like below threshold, there's no current. But that's not right, right? The sub-threshold current is all below. Where is this tail coming from? Pardon me? No, this tail is not coming from the trapping. This is coming from the fact. You can get the... let me see whether I can... It is coming from the fact that when you have a band gap, e.g., and let's say this is the distribution, no matter at what level you are in, so this is the electron distribution. Now, if your energy is, if this energy, average energy is bigger than this, this is the formula. Average energy is bigger than this. But of course, you will always have electrons, which will always have be larger than the band gap, and which will always do the impact ionization. And so therefore, this is an important contributor. It is less than this, of course. But this is not zero. And in many cases, the field, lateral field has become very high. Your 20 nanometer channel still has a volt. So that's a very high electric field, and electrons are could be quasi-ballistic. And then even though this is inefficient, taken together, it could still have an impact. So I wanted to make sure that when I wrote this formula, this is a classical formula, above which applies when KT is KTL or KTE is greater than EG. Or comparable to EG, right? In that case, it will be fine. Yes.
You said that the threshold current won't be much different because like in last few slides. When we talk about the threshold voltage, we talk about either linear threshold voltage VT len or VT set.
Right.
So will VT len be same across all HCI or?
Okay, so first of all, sub-threshold you understood, right? Sub-threshold, it will not be affected. The reason is, yes, it has a barrier, but there is a bigger barrier up front, so the electron will be determined by the bigger barrier. Now, in the linear regime, question is, how many defects you have generated and how far the barrier you have pulled down, the channel barrier you have pulled down. If the channel barrier at low temperature goes below that, so let me see. Yeah. So remember that this is done at 1.25 volts. 1.25 volts, I had this, which is in the saturation regime. But let's say it's in the linear regime. In the linear regime, it will not be pulled that much, right? It will be pulled somewhere here. But still, if this one at, my guess, if I had 6 millivolt is how much energy this has. This is still a big barrier. So I think in this case, even the linear VT will have an influence. But, you know, this is a case by case everything. I just wanted to explain the principle that when, and you can see if it were forward characteristics, you wouldn't care because on the drain side, you have a little bit of notch on the drain side. What difference does it make? Electrons will fly through this. And if you prevent it from going close to the interface, it will just go a little bit down and then it will get in the drain. So therefore, in the forward saturation regime, the effect is less significant. Yes.
And the question is, how do you define threshold voltage?
That will be my next class. And then, so therefore, I was reading this paper. So there is this 10 definition of threshold voltage. You can use any one of them, which is the constant current or transconduction method. So we'll discuss it. But the traditional definition is you just take a look at the saturated curve and then correspondingly find out the threshold voltage by extrapolation from the maximum GM point. Right? That's the traditional way people would do it. In the next class, I will do it, discuss the sub-threshold, VT and other things.
My question is, we have this barrier in MOSFET transistor.
Right.
So the reason that we should see current saturation is that we have this KT, and so we assume that carriers can be injected through.
Yes, yes, right.
Because we always have this notch at the very beginning of
right.
The channel.
That's right.
When we go to 77 degree, then how can carrier be injected into the channel?
Yeah, but this is a relative question, right? So let me answer that. It's a relative question in the sense that, you know, would you have asked this question if it were the temperature is 150 degrees C? Meaning that this is a relative question. So the question, I guess, the essential point is this. So this is one, and then you have a distribution, channel distribution, and generally we say that this fraction goes over the barrier. Now, let's say you have a notch. Then, essentially, a smaller part will go through. Right? So, there will be fewer. But for a ballistic transistor, this is all that you need. But that's not true for a longer channel transistors. First of all, this is part of the explanation, of course, because this suppresses the current. And when the current ID is reduced, then and then you have all this VD over L and all those things, right? So you have a mu. When this is reduced, when you quote unquote, this is a formula you use. You say that my VT has increased. It has increased at only one point, but it doesn't matter. The current has gone down. But then one could argue that for the other case, why didn't it, that effect, why didn't it show up? Because you still have a barrier over there. And look at the barrier. How big is the barrier? Can you read it off from the graph? It is about 200, 250, it will be at the top of the barrier. It will be like 250 millielectron volts. You have 25, so it still has a barrier. But the thing is, for long channel transistors, this resistance is also important. When you have this resistance is also important, it's not only this part. In the balance, it turns out that yes, this original current, they get suppressed, but it's essentially dominated by the channel resistance. So therefore, you don't see any effect. Look at the carrier concentration on the blue, and the carrier concentration with and without damage essentially are indistinguishable. Because what the electron did in the 2D, what the electron did, and you can do this simulation. I have done this before when I used to design MOSFETs. What the electron will do essentially in this case, electron will just go around this a little bit. And then it will go through. So that is what I was trying to show you here. It will still have a barrier. It doesn't want to go all the way down. So it sort of finds a barrier where it's sort of the minimum and then it goes through. Right? So I'm not sure that whether it doesn't really matter what definition of VTE you use. I think in all cases there'll be a change.
Part of the reason that I'm asking is that when you go through lower temperature, I guess if you just look at the on current and try to extract VT from the on current, just because you are on lower temperature, that means your VT should be bigger.
The VT?
Not talk about any degradation.
Absolutely.
You are looking at two, one transistor in two different.
This is a very nice question, but you have to make the distinction. We are not talking about VT. We are talking about delta VT. Is the change that happened due to degradation. So yes, you will have a VT and you will have a VT zero. At time t equals zero, you will have a certain VT. We are talking about the difference. So of course you will have a VT due to KT, proportional to KT, right? So you can see that VT has gone up. Therefore, in the subthreshold, you are at 0.9. Look at that. That's at 0.4. So there is a VT zero difference. I agree. But what we are talking about is delta VT, the change in the VT due to degradation. Right? And remember, it's a log plot. So actually, it is normalized to VT zero. Often, because when you take a log, this VT0 becomes a constant shift. So actually, this is what, anytime in a log plot you look at delta VT, you are actually looking at the difference between the two. Right? Does it make sense? Okay.